This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and junkies, welcome to this week's episode of the only objective, fully informed, and incredibly charismatic NWA-centric podcast anywhere in the ether, the NWA Saturday Special. I'm your co-host, Scott Priscola. Let's welcome in the doctor, Dr. G, George Molina.
Yo, ooh. What up?
In your new digs, you don't have to go out and throw salt down. Isn't that nice?
I care less what's going on outside.
Fuck him in the ass. Fuck him. Yes.
Anyway. I don't have to do it anymore, so that's...
Yeah. Fuck him in the hole. All right, doctor. What's going on? We got things.
Another week.
Yep, we got things to talk about. Things.
We have things to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot of things. As a matter of fact... I meant to watch it before we started recording. Maybe I'll watch it on mute. But apparently on the NWA YouTube channel today, I don't know if you watched it, but I guess William Patrick, had an announcement about next Saturday's show down in Kentucky. Of course, next Saturday, 1 week from today, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, is the big NWA power trip down at Oak Grove, Kentucky. And he apparently made some announcements. So I'm going to play it on mute, live viewing of the NWA here on the Saturday Special. And we're going to see what did Billy Corgan, announce. Let me go to the actual NWA YouTube channel. While I'm doing that, we'll talk about what's going on this week's show. We will, of course, recap last Saturday's episode of NWA USA, and we will, of course, recap this past Tuesday's episode of NWA Power. And then, Doctor, we have finally reached the top 20. I will reveal to you the top 20 on the official NWA Saturday Special ballot of the 100 greatest NWA/WCW superstars of all time. Then we have a new project next week. A new project next week. Just for you, Dr. G. Just for you.
You just love projects.
I do. Well, so do you. You love projects. My projects don't involve punch lists. That's the difference between mine and yours. Anyway.
Anyway.
So let's see. This is only a quick minute 15 of video. So there's NWA. There's moving around on the screen. Picture of the world title belt. Matt Cardona's holding it. So let's see. So it has been official. Next Saturday, February 12th, at NWA Power Trip, Trevor Murdoch will defend the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Matt Cardona.
I think that's going to be a good match.
Do we see a change?
You know, does
Sean Kidd get his wish next week?
Do I think there's going to be a change? I don't know. I know that Cardona's been on, he was on the Busted Open podcast, and he was saying that the NWA, I don't know if some of it's kayfabe, you know, I can't tell with him sometimes, but he was saying that, you know, he likes it there, but he thinks that it's a little too old school. You know, they need music. They need, you know,
play,
you know, music. And that's his gimmick because
he's WWE. I think he was, he sounds like he's been a little kayfabe. I mean, they do play music at the pay-per-views. They don't play music on the weekly shows, but we have watched the pay-per-views where they
do play. Do we see him as the next NWA champion? Why not?
Yeah. Sean Kidd says, why not? So that has been announced next Saturday in Oak Grove, Kentucky at the NWA Power Trip show. Trevor Murdoch will defend Sweet Charlotte, the 10 pounds of gold, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Matt Cardona. That's one match. Already a loaded card, which we'll talk about in a little bit, because the card is jacked up. Not the only title match on this evening. And guess who will be returning to the NWA in Oak Grove, Kentucky, Dr. G? Guess who will be making his return?
Who's making his return?
The Pope. The Pope will be back.
The Pope will be back.
The Pope will be back. And he will be taking on Mike Knox. So other matches on that Power Trip card. We might as well get through it now. The National Heavyweight Championship will be on the line. Chris Adonis will take on Anthony Mayweather. The match that I know you're most looking forward to, because you're expecting a little blood. Actually, you're expecting lots of blood. Nick Aldis, the National Treasure, will take on Tom Latimer in an I Quit match.
I'll tell you the truth. I mean, again, I understand with health risks and things like that. I mean, I know some promotions are doing it, but you have to. I think the reality of the way the storyline, the realness to this, you have to have some violence, some blood.
I agree.
To really impact this storyline.
I agree with you. Also, Camille, hardest working champion in the business, will be defending the world women's title against Taryn Terrell. We've got the big 8-man tag as Idolmania Sports Management, the world television champion Tyrus, Black G's, Marche Rocket, and Jordan Clearwater will take on Rush Freeman, Alex Taylor, Scion, and Mims. And I told you what I think should happen. Mims should be pinning Tyrus and get a world television title shot. I still say, mark it down. As my play-by-play guy for my baseball team says, put it in the books. Mims will be the next world television champion. I think I'm stretching it a little
much. I think you're stretching it, but yeah, you never know.
Also on the card, Kylie Rae is taking on Chelsea Green, which makes sense because her boyfriend, Matt Cardona, is now on the card. So there you go there. So that is next Saturday in Oak Grove, Kentucky at NWA Power Trip. And, of course, the two big matches that have been announced, the Pope returning after the concussion he suffered. He'll be taking on Mike Knox, and Trevor Murdoch will be defending the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Matt Cardona. And I don't know, Doctor. I don't know. You think Sean Kidd has a premonition? I don't know. I do not know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But we'll see.
We will see. Now, of course, they'll probably do what they did for By Any Means Necessary, and they'll probably cut the – I don't know. That's not a ton of matches, so they probably will just do one show. But, I mean, I could see them cutting it into two pieces like they did for By Any Means Necessary. So they'll probably do that over a two.
Depending on how long the matches are.
Right, exactly. So, all right, so there we go. So we got that taken care of. So that's next Saturday night down in Oak Grove, Kentucky, NWA Power Trip, and it will be broken up into. I do like saying that. Well, they're the ones that add the R's, so you know. And so we'll see how they do that. But that's next a week from tonight. If you're listening to this on Saturday, all right. Let's dive into the recaps. We'll start with last Saturday, NWA USA. It opened with a interview with Strictly Business, and of course they trashed their opponents because we have a big main event on this episode of NWA USA. Doctor. Strictly Business, Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis taking on Callum McDougall's new favorite tag team, the British Invasion. Dick Aldis and Doug Williams. That's later in the show. Raven and Natalia Markova have a segment. Of course, Raven's like the big heel now. He thinks that Tim Storm's a fucking idiot and doesn't know how to run NWA USA. Our first match is another qualifier. In fact, I believe, as a matter of fact, I think it is the last qualifier for the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Title Tournament. Darius Lockhart takes on Sal Rinaro. Now, this was obviously, all these NWA USAs were taped a while ago, so this was before Sal Rinaro joined the Sinister Minister and Judas and all that. So he still came out with his weird, goofy, you know, pal and Sal pal or NW Sal or whatever that was in his weird tights. However, he was working a little heelish. So obviously, even when they were taping these shows, they knew what they were going to do with Sal, because he was being a little heelish. But in the end, Rinaro goes for a running crossbody block, but Lockhart rolls him over and picks up the win. So Darius Lockhart locks up, no pun intended, the final slot in the semifinals of the World Junior Heavyweight Title Tournament. So, of course, there is three semifinals. Austin Aries against Luke Hawks. Darius Lockhart takes on Aria Davari. And Colby Carino takes on Ricky Morton's son, whose name escapes me. Luke? No. Kerry Morton. So Colby Carino versus Kerry Morton. Darius Lockhart versus Aria Davari. And Austin Aries versus Luke Hawks. And the winners of those three matches will join Homicide in a fatal four-way at the Crockett Cup to determine the new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion. Aren't you excited, Doctor?
It's interesting. It's a nice belt to add to the
company. You know,
to the company. Again, he doesn't have a full-time roster like two big companies do, but he has a lot of guys from all the indies, and he's giving them work. And you know, we worried about like how they were gonna, you know, sustain as a company, but they have a lot of guys coming in and out here.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do.
And you've seen some young upcomers, the second and third generation wrestlers like Colby Carino and Kerry Morton. So it's kind of nice to see them get their start here.
Mm-hmm. I still think Colby Carino's winning the tournament. I think he's earned it. He's been an awesome heel. What a little douche prick.
He is.
He's a little douche prick with his guys, the Fixers. They've really set, in my opinion, and we'll talk more about this when we do the Power recap too, they've really set Colby Carino up for success as a heel. He's just an utter pompous douche. He's got the two muscle guys protecting him. I mean, he's totally been set up for success.
Some people say, oh, maybe is he copying MJF? Not really. I think MJF's a little bit more preppy.
And he's polished. He's a little more polished.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think so. But, you know, every promotion's got to have one of those guys.
Yeah, you have to. Again, if you notice in anything in wrestling, it's really you recycle stuff throughout the years. You know what I'm saying? You recycle characters. You recycle. I mean, yeah, maybe the Attitude Era added some different flair and different things to characters because it was a little bit more realistic. But in terms of storylines, they get recycled all the time in all the companies.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, did you see who came out tonight to challenge Roman Reigns?
I did not watch tonight. So
Goldberg.
They've been talking about that.
Wow, they're really burning through those batches on his contract, huh? If you want to listen to me totally destroying the WWE, check out this past week's episode, which dropped yesterday. If you're listening to this on Saturday, a Place Be Nation's main event, Steve Willey and I, Nate Milton dropped in later in the show.
Some crazy stuff going on. Shane McMahon, they're saying he got fired from the company. I guess he was on a contract. I don't know what the heck's going on there. I really don't.
Yeah, who knows? But we're talking the NWA here, so.
Exactly. We don't have to deal with that.
All right. I have one, Dr. G, which is technically part yours too. But if you want your own replica copy up to 10 pounds of gold. Sweet Charlotte. Go to fandubelts.com/NWA. F-A-N-D-U. fandubelts.com/NWA to get your own copy. Sweet Charlotte. Pretty cool, huh? Ricky Morton gets into a backstage confrontation.
It is. They should pay us for that little plug there.
Yeah, they should pay us. I should get another belt to add to my collection. What do you think?
Yeah, why not?
Do you want me to get the Florida heavyweight title? Did the Florida heavyweight title belt have green leather, like the ropes?
No.
Fuck. That's how.
It really wasn't a beautiful belt, but still.
What about the Southern
heavyweight? Got to carry it, though.
So. What about the Southern heavyweight championship?
Yeah, that one was just a black belt. Kind of had like red lettering on it.
You know what belt I liked? I always liked the when World Class had the Texas Heavyweight Championship. I actually kind of liked that belt.
Had this Texas
on it. That was always.
I mean, I would love. I love the television belt. You know, the red one.
Oh, of course. I liked the AWA World Title, not the one they had at the end, but the big one, like the Vern Bockwinkle one with the letters that Stan Hansen supposedly ran over with his truck.
Thing was big.
That thing was a hoss, yes. Anyway, May Valentine then interviewed Austin Aries, talking about his match with Luke Hawks coming up, etc. Next match we had was the main event. So we really only had two matches on the episode of NWA USA. And the main event was the British Invasion versus Strictly Business. I'm not going to get into the whole match. You can watch it on YouTube. But it was a fun match. And climax, and I was not crazy about this finish. Williams delivers the Chaos Theory. Aldis plants Latimer with a flying elbow drop and pins him for the win. So the British Invasion wins the match, which I'm fine with. But really, did Tom Latimer have to eat another pin from Nick?
Yeah, I was kind of. I'm not sure where they're going with this. Like Latimer is such a great heel, and the way he speaks, and you know. You got to let him back it up once in a while.
Right.
So, I can't see him making all the say I quit. So I would think that you would give him a few of the wins and let Aldis, you know, get the big win.
I could see Latimer winning next Saturday night. Kind of like, you know, the way that The Rock beat Mick at the 99 Royal Rumble, just beat him into submission. And he doesn't answer. He's out. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, happening.
He's got to win at some.
That's point. A possibility, no doubt. Because
this has been kind of a waste of a feud, in my opinion.
I was very shocked to see him take the.
I mean, I know Chris Adonis is the national heavyweight champion, but I mean, who really gives a shit? Really, you know what I mean? It's like whatever.
Yeah, is he ever going to defend this championship?
Well, he is defending it next Saturday night. I know.
They need him to have defended on TV a little bit more.
I thought that was supposed to be the point of NWA USA. That was supposed to focus on the junior heavyweight belt and the national heavyweight belt, and we haven't gotten jack squat. So anyway, let's move ahead to this this past Tuesday for the newest episode of
Power.
Thanks, as always, to my good friend Josh Lopez for helping me with my notes. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. At the table. The usuals, Joe Galli, Tim Storm, Austin Idol, Velvet Sky. We get an opening segment to promote tonight's main event. The NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Trevor Murdoch, will be defending the belt against Mike Knox. If he beats Mike Knox, he gets Matt Cardona. If he loses, well, he loses the belt, I guess. So there you go. So they have a back and forth. And so they did an opening segment with Kyle Davis to pump up the match at the end of the night. Our next match, a 3-on-2 handicap match. The Dirty Sexy Boys, JTG and Dirty Dango. I like Fandango in Johnny Curtis. I like Fandango in NWA. I don't know. I just find it funny. Don't you find it funny?
It is, especially this is a guy that was pushed in the WWE that he even got Jericho to lay down for him at WrestleMania. Yeah,
at WrestleMania. We were there live.
Exactly.
Fucked up.
And now, you know, I don't want to, geez, you know, I love the NWA. I don't want to put it down, but, you know, obviously he's kind of trying to rejuvenate his career, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he's not really needed in AEW. And, you know, he's having fun here. So, anyway, they take on the ill-begotten, including Captain Rudo, in a 3-on-2 handicap match. Fun little back and forth. The ill-begotten, by the way, is Rush Freeman and Alex Taylor, who, of course, is in that 8-man tag next Saturday night. They have a back and forth. In the end, Dango shoves Yuma into Taylor. Dango hits the Falcon Arrow, and then he connects with the Last Dance to pick up the win. So the Dirty Sexy Boys win by pinfall. I could see them. I could see him. Them going far in the tournament. They've announced a few teams for the Crockett Cup.
Yeah, tournament. I mean, it's an interesting two guys to put together, but that's what kind of makes it interesting about the team,
right?
And they seem to work well together.
Yeah, they absolutely do. We had another ad for FanDuel belts. Remember, FanDuel belts /NWA to get your replica. You can get either the original 10 pounds of gold, which has the Australia plate, or you can get the updated one that has the United Kingdom plate. Now, this I'm not totally in favor of right now. The NWA is trying to promote a big pay-per-view. I mean, they got the Crockett Cup coming up Saturday, March 19th, Sunday, March 20th from the fairgrounds in Nashville. Of course, we will be here with the Place to Be Nation Twitch feed and two nights of commentary. But now they're promoting this team war. 24 performers split into 8 different teams of 3, and the winning team gets $30,000, $10,000 a guy. Which sounds like fun, but it's like, why are you doing this now? Do this in, like, I don't know, April or May, when you're kind of in between pay-per-views. Why are you doing this now? In the middle of a pay-per-view build. I don't understand. I love Billy, and I think he's done an amazing job building this brand. But sometimes I feel like Billy gets in his own head too much. And
I think it's too much with these tournaments, and I'm not a tournament person to begin with. So
I love tournaments,
for me, but this is just – it's a little overkill. And the thing is no offense. I mean, listen, you're okay faving it here, $30,000. I mean, could you come up with a – you know, make it like, you know, $1 million or whatever. Make some stupid amount. Like,
well,
I don't know. It's just but it sounds so low rent.
Yeah, it sounds very Vernish. You know what I mean? Vern would take a cut, of course. So you'd only get like 6,000 each.
Exactly. But no, I mean, I'd rather see that them do this, you know, after all this. Especially you're going to have a Crockett Cup, you know, do it after that. I think that would be the way to go. But I don't know. I guess we'll enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, it'll be something fun. Anyway, and of course they did announce, they did promote the Crockett Cup, which will again be March 19th to the 20th and you called it, Doctor. You called it right here on the show. You said, why not have it at the old Nashville Fairgrounds where the beginnings of TNA was? Well, guess what? It's exactly where it is. It's going to be at the Nashville Fairgrounds, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I would have preferred to see it in Charlotte, you know, just as a tribute to the Crockett family. But
well, if you want to do that, see, I.
But again, I don't know what kind of facility they could do with it there, you know.
Right. But now, see, for the Crockett Cup, though, I kind of agree with Sean. If you want to really respect history, you do it in Baltimore, because the Crockett Cup was always in Baltimore. Although the one year, wasn't the Crockett Cup? Was it the one year the Crockett Cup was at the Meadowlands?
No, it was the first year, I believe it was in, because they made that comment. We just watched. They made the comment about it being in Charlotte. It was in Louisiana. It was in the Superdome.
Oh, right.
Remember, it was with Watts.
With Watts. That's right.
Yeah,
was one in Baltimore, though.
It might have been, but I mean, if you really want to go into history, then you do it in Louisiana. But
right.
I mean, but remember David Crockett kind of making the comment about like it not being in Charlotte, but, you know,
right.
Bid hardy or whatever.
Yeah, so like, the usual, we bid hard for it. Yeah, like there was an actual bidding. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not WrestleMania.
No, it's not. Mae Valentine had an episode of Heart to Heart where she sat with Kiera Hogan, talked about, you know, her career and Mickie James. Of course, right now, Kiera Hogan is the number one contender for the World Women's Championship, even though Taryn Terrell's getting a title shot at
the World Women's
Championship. Not that that matters. That's just a throwaway. Then, of course, Chris Silvio, who's the attorney for Jack Dane, said that Anthony Mayweather is in a legal predicament. The guy's a doofus. Anyway, our next match. Yes.
Now, going back to the Crockett Cup. So because, you know, I hate leaving people hanging. So in 86, the first year, it was in New Orleans.
Okay.
Or New Orleans, whatever you want to say.
New Orleans.
1987 mm-hmm. was in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. 1988 was in, the first night was in Greenville, South Carolina, because it was two nights. Mm-hmm. And then on the 22nd of April in 88, and then April 23rd, 1988, it was in Greensboro. And then in 2019,
it was in Charlotte.
2019, it was Concord, North Carolina.
Oh, Concord, North Carolina. That was the first Aldis Marty Scurll match. Then, of course, 2020, yeah. It was supposed to be at that place down in Georgia. And, of course, the vid said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess there's really no – I mean, I just said Carolina, North Carolina, because of the Crocketts. But
I'll tell you this.
There was no – it was in different places. So
I will say this about Charlotte before we move on. I know and we love Charlotte just like we love Greensboro. Next year, and maybe this is a trip you and I make, because I think next year when it's NWA 75, I think that'll be in Charlotte.
Could be.
This year, of course, when we get to August, it'll be NWA 74. But I think next year, when it is NWA 75, I think that pay-per-view will be in Charlotte.
It's going to be interesting to see how the company goes. I mean, when we were talking with Dave Lagana, I know the name that you can't mention.
That guy? No, we can talk about him.
But anyway, I think, you know, it sounded like they were going to come up into the Northeast. But I don't know now. I mean, I would love to see them come up into this area and see how it would do.
You know where the NWA would be really cool? Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah.
That would be pretty badass.
I mean, they just did that Game Changer wrestling event there.
Mm.
And it would be interesting. I don't know if they could tell by YouTube views or wherever, or even where the people who are buying the the package out for Fight TV, mm-hmm. I'm sure they could tell in some ways with all the technology that maybe it's still trending towards the south, more the southern, because of NWA being so strong down there, or it's mostly people purchasing or watching down south, and that's why they're staying in that area.
I do not disagree with you.
Because Billy's a Midwest guy. So
true.
Yeah, you know, we haven't even gone there really. So it must be trending better down south. But of course, we'd love to see it up here. But I think, you know, to have it in this area, and I know we're kind of going off topic here, but I think to have it in the Northeast area, you're going to have a name that people are familiar with on the card.
You know,
that maybe was popular in this neck of the woods. So interesting. We'll see how things go over the next year, but
I don't disagree with you.
Six pay-per-views, it seems like they're going to do a year based on the package. So
yeah, well, last year they did five.
I tell you, for a small company, that's a good amount of pay-per-views if you think about it.
I mean, last year they did five, because I know they say last year was four, but I count the week, you know, the weekend in St. Louis, they had Empower on Saturday and NWA 73 on Sunday. That's two pay-per-views. And then they had When Our Shadows Fall. They had Back for the Attack. And then, of course, they had Hard Times, too. So technically last year they did five, even though two were back-to-back in a weekend. But anyway.
Back to the matches.
So the next match was Scion, Mr. Excitement there, taking on Sal Rinaro with Judas and Father James Mitchell in a no disqualification match. And it was actually pretty fun. They used weapons. They hit each other with chairs and everything. And Scion made Rinaro verbally submit as he was driving the bell hammer into his eye. So, of course, taking a trick from, of course, one of yours and my favorite matches ever, Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard from Starrcade 85. Of course, that.
But again, this is again where wrestling is so different today. There should have been a little juice there.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
To make it seem realistic. This is the stuff that I'm trying, you know, this is where the old school, you know, wrestlers, you know, where sometimes people criticize Jim Cornette and everything, but this is where they get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to do stuff like that, make it. I mean, I know that we're supposed to suspend reality and we know that kayfabe's gone, but it's just sometimes people want to get lost in the moment. And that, and this is a moment where I think you needed to do a little blood. I don't know. People may disagree with me, but I just think there you got to have a little. Now, I know maybe part of it is because what's going on with the virus and all that. I don't know. You know,
I'm tired of the excuses. I want.
But in terms of this, this was actually a better match than I expected.
Yeah, I agree. And Sal, I think I like heel Sal. Like,
yeah, heel Sal is
grizzly fuck. Good. Yeah, but anyway, we had a nice little promo with Natalia Markova along with Taryn Terrell's ladies, my girl Genocide and Paola Blaze. Paola Blaze pretty much this was great. She told Natalia Markova, "I'm gonna break your face and send your cheap ass back to Russia." That was actually a great line by Paola Blaze. I enjoyed that. And Genocide. Got in her face as well, because we love Genocide. I love Genocide. All right. This was not a long episode. This episode was only like 43 minutes, one of the shorter powers. But to our main event, we only had three matches. The main event was Trevor Murdoch defending the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Mike Knox in a rematch from Ha Tams 2. And if Murdoch wins, he will get a match with Matt Cardona. And if he loses, well, Mike Knox, the World Heavyweight Champion. So not a bad little match. I will say this. I'm not a big fan of Trevor Murdoch as champion. He's not a guy I would pick. But he does bring it in the ring a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he has experience. It's not like we're watching Jimmy Valiant out there.
I know. You know, well, Jimmy Valiant experience, he just sucked. There's a difference.
Yeah. No.
But it wasn't a bad match. It really wasn't a bad match. It was a good little TV match. You know,
you may not be enthralled with the character or, you know, how he's being portrayed. But it's not like he's going to give you a totally bad match. It's just that he's not exciting as the champion. But
no, he's not.
He's kind of an old school NWA champion of the 70s, the early 70s, you know, with the Dory Funk Juniors or the Briscoes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Good it's workers, okay. But, you know, not really bringing it much, you know, much excitement to the show, you know, right. And that's.
He's fine.
Yeah.
It's
going to be interesting. Matt Cardona as champion would not be a bad thing.
I don't think so either, to be honest. Anyway, they go back and forth. In the end, Murdoch hits the small package after a rollover from a shot in the turnbuckle. But Murdoch gets the win. After the match, Murdoch jumps out of the ring, starts chasing Cardona. And then Cardona sets him up and Knox drills him with a running crossbody block. They get back in the ring. Knox beats on him for a little bit and then holds Murdoch up. And then Cardona drills him with the World Heavyweight title belt. And Murdoch is laid out in the middle of the ring to end the show. So I did enjoy the dramatic ending with the, you know, the Cardona drilling him with the belt and laying him out and setting up what we will have, obviously, 1 week from this, 1 week from tonight at Power Trip, where Cardona will get his shot at the World Heavyweight title. So not a bad little episode of Power. Again, it was not long. It was, I don't know, maybe like 43 minutes. So it was a fast watch. Not a lot of matches.
The matches weren't bad.
No, they weren't bad. A lot of promo, a lot of stick work. I love, as much as I'm not the biggest Taryn Terrell fan, I'm starting to love this Paola Blaze Genocide team. They're pretty cool. And I obviously we are going to see some type of really nasty blow off between Anthony Mayweather and Jack Stain. That's going to happen somewhere down the line. I have a feeling it'll be at the Crockett Cup. I'm kind of excited, Doctor, for what could conceivably be a pretty damn good pay-per-view over two nights down in Nashville.
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be they're doing a decent job of building, like you said, adding this other tournament in the middle of it. I'm not sure if I'm totally big on that, but
I mean, it might just be power fill. It'll probably just be power fill.
It could be power fill because, again, with the Crockett Cup, it's a tournament. So there's not – you don't know who – you know, there's not much you could do for storyline. The tournament itself is the storyline.
Right, exactly. So anyway, there you go. There is this past week's episode of Power. We will have another one, of course, coming up this Tuesday on Fight TV. So, all right. So I have tortured the doctor over the last, 3 weeks. Counting down the official NWA Saturday special, top 100 GNWA / WCW guys of all time.
Surprised Van Hammer's not number one on your list.
I can't. He's 97 because I made him 97. Jesus, I didn't make him five. God.
Okay, go ahead.
So here we go. So we've done 100 through 21, and I'm going to read them all to you now. No, I'm just kidding. No. We are going.
You do love to hear yourself talk, but come on.
I do love to hear myself talk. Armbar. You remember when Chris Jericho read the moves on Nitro? The running flying credenza. Armbar. No. So here is the top 20 from 20 to 1. Are you ready?
Yep.
Now again, the timeline is 1981 to 2001. So from when Crockett kind of went national to when they closed. You tell me if I'm off my rocker. I think you'll agree with who I have. It just depends if you agree on
it's in the top 20 of you kind of splitting hairs. I don't know how, you know, crazy I could get with this.
So
there were some people you had the other parts of it that I thought should have been higher, but whatever. We went over that already. So let's do this.
Okay. Number 20, Steven Regal.
I don't know if I would have had him in the top 20, even though he's a good wrestler, but okay. That's
okay.
I would have had some other guys higher than that, but okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Number 19. The Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Yeah, he had better days were in the WWE.
Right. Okay. Number 18. Sorry, I don't mean to sound distracted, but my Google Doc got all screwed up here, and I want to make sure I have the right order. Okay. That's not even close. Okay. Hold on. The intrigue is building.
Get your little glasses out.
No, my glasses are fine. The fucking thing got all fucked up. All right, here we go. All right. Number 18. Okay, there we go. Diamond Dallas Page.
I mean, towards the end there, he did have a good run.
Okay.
I mean, again, some people may have him higher. But again, it's hard when it's in the top 20.
Okay. Number 17, Dean Malenko.
I mean, Dean Malenko, great, great wrestler. I mean, might have had Diamond Dallas Page a little ahead of him just because of Diamond Dallas Page. And obviously, he's not a better wrestler than Dean Malenko.
Right.
But just because of his popularity. But, okay, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to get too crazy because we're splitting hairs here.
Okay. Sean Kidd will like this one. And I didn't think I would have this guy this high, but watching him lately over the past few years, I've gained a ton of respect for this guy, even though he's not my favorite stick man. Number 16, Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie Garvin definitely deserves to be in the top 20. Top 20, top 25, no doubt about it. Okay. He had a nice run there for a little bit. I'm gaining some respect for him as well as I'm watching back some of the stuff.
Well, me too. I'm in the fall of 86. I'm at one of my watches, and I forgot he was Mid-Atlantic heavyweight champion in
you
that
know,
stretch.
You got to now that I'm doing Crock and Roll and you're doing it, you got to remember when we were younger, we were kids then, okay, watching this. And WWE or WWF at the time, they brought in this whole show and, you know, the entertainment and the glitz and the glamour. We got so enamored with that that I think – they desensitized. I mean, they did a great job. So you kind of didn't really – even though I watched NWA, I think we were so enamored with all the big stars. Mm-hmm. You know, they were bigger than life. And that's mm-hmm. what WWE did better than NWA. Mm-hmm. And that's why they, you know, were the better company at the time. I mean, in terms of revenue and all that stuff. So I think the storylines in the NWA are better. They just didn't know how to market. And that's where I think we as an adults now, and we're older and we've seen so much wrestling, that we're able to enjoy it even more and realize, wow, these guys were not bad. Like Ronnie Garvin, I probably, you know, I loved rooting for a lot of the faces, but I probably, yeah, okay, Ronnie Garvin, you know, he didn't have that glitz and glamour I was looking for, and I didn't really appreciate the stuff that he did. So I definitely think he deserves to be in the top 20.
Number 15, Rick Rude.
Yeah. I mean, I still think he had some better matches in WWE, but he had a pretty good career.
I think he was a much better wrestler in WCW, though, in the 90s, I think. But except for my...
Well,
except for
my. Yeah, I mean, again, his WWE... I mean, he had some good feuds in the WWE, I should say. But yeah, he probably did have some better matches in WCW. / NWA.
Mm-hmm. Well, him and Manny Fernandez are pretty damn good tag team. People
they were.
About that. Number 14. Nikita Koloff.
I mean, I know that people didn't care for his stuff in the ring, but mm-hmm. his character was so believable. He did have those. He did have some good matches with Magnum TA, and he was just a believable. I mean, he really played the part really well. I mean, you got to give him credit for that. And after interviewing him, I mean, he's just got such a great personality that he really took time to learn. His character wasn't going to be, you know, a Dean Malenko type of wrestler. That's just not who he is. It's just, you know, it's like asking Goldberg to do that. Goldberg is one of the, you know, biggest stars of all time in wrestling, even though he had a small window. I mean, he's come back so many times, but he was so believable, and that's how Nikita was. Nikita needed to be that animal, that person that almost seemed unbeatable. And he played a part. I have no problems with Nikita there. There might be some people that argue with you, but, you know, because everybody's got to have 5-star matches, you know. Mm-hmm. This isn't the Dave Meltzer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody's got to get a haircut and clean his family room. Number 13, Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero had some good matches in WWE.
You really can't. I know you're trying to like wrap your head around the whole cruiserweight thing, but it made a big deal.
No, let me tell you, Bischoff wanted to start the show off hot and have hot matches. And usually the best in ring work was usually at the beginning of the show. I think, you know, you could criticize Eric Bischoff for a lot of things, but I thought that was one thing he did really well. And
I agree.
And advancing the cruiserweights, and you know, it's just too bad because that they could have probably had Chris Jericho at that time as a bigger star than he was. And they never really took advantage of that. I mean, you know, because he wrestled like a cruiserweight because he was in that cruiserweight class. But obviously, he became a world champion eventually. But you know what I'm saying? That I think Eddie Guerrero made his career. I mean, ECW, WCW, and then look at the career he wound up having in the WWE. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I can't argue with you on there. I mean, definitely the top 20, which is what you have them in. So,
yep. Number 12, Rey Mysterio. Probably same case as Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rey's probably the best cruiserweight in the history of the 20. In the 20-year stretch, he's probably the best.
You know, it's funny to think, you know, he's a former world champion, you know, in the WWE.
Right.
Which you would have never, never, ever believed that would happen.
Well, it happened because Eddie Guerrero died. We talked about that. That was one of the things Dave Hall and I talked about on a past episode of Through the Looking Glass when we were trying to rebook the
rules. Yeah, I mean,
we're like, Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio would never even have come close to sniffing that 2006 Royal Rumble or win the title at WrestleMania 22 if Eddie Guerrero was alive. Not happening. So,
yeah, same. I mean, that's probably true, but they still did it, which he didn't have to do, which Vince didn't have to do. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. But he had some great matches in WWE too, but I mean,
yes,
but at this time in WCW, he was on fire.
Mm. Number 11. Big Van Vader.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the greatest heels in WCW history. Yeah.
He was really good. Just a shame. I mean, for various reasons, including his own reasons, he just never was able to make it big in WWE. I think he would have been an awesome WWE champion. But
I agree. Well, he got caught in a lot of bullshit, as we all
know. Yeah, there was a lot of bullshit going on at that time.
Yeah, so
not to even go down that road. But yes, Vader. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
No problem.
All right. So just to recap, 20-11, Steven Regal, Randy Savage, Diamond Dallas Page, Dean Malenko, Ron Garvin, Rick Rude, Nikita Koloff, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and Big Van Vader.
And again, could argue split hairs, you know, who should be high, you know, like that.
Right.
But I think having them in the top 20, I don't really see too many issues.
Okay. Number 10. And this probably causes some controversy, but maybe not. Number 10 on our list. I know it says my list. Our list. You may guess.
Lex Luger.
Lexi at number 10. Say what you fucking want. Matt Souza can hate him all he wants. Ignore his career like it never happened. Flexi Lexi at times did move the needle, whether you like it or not.
So, yeah, I can't argue. Again.
Love you, Suze, but you can't cancel.
Listen, I get why people didn't care for him, but he did move the needle at times, and he was in some big feuds, and
I think he's a great heel.
I mean, I think if he's as humble as he is now, I mean, and granted, a lot of things happened for him to get to that point, but if he had some of that at that time, I think he would have gone further in WCW. And I think that whole thing with WWE would have worked.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If he truly bought into it. And I don't think he totally bought into it. And it showed. I do think he was a better heel than he was a face. But I think he could have, if he would have bought into it and Vince was trying to do, I think he could have been a big star.
He had zero interest in the whole bus trip and children, and he had no fucking interest in that whatsoever.
Exactly. But if he had the personality he has now, I think he could have.
He might regret it. Yeah, I agree.
No, again, what everybody's got to understand, everybody looks at the five-star matches. Not every wrestler is going to be able to do that. But it's what they brought to the table, the whole picture. I mean, was Hulk Hogan a five-star match wrestler? No. But he's one of the biggest stars of all time.
Yep.
So there's something there. And Lex, at times, like you said, could move the needle. And I mean, he wasn't the worst stick person in the world. He wasn't great, but he wasn't the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on, you know, there were times where he was believable. And then there was times he sucked, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're saying. Yep. But I have no problems with that.
Okay. Number 9. Goldberg.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was for a short period of time. I mean, some people may have him higher, you know, within the top 5 just because of, I mean, you could say the NWO, yes, they were the catalyst to get WCW moving. But when they found him, I mean, you know, it was him and Stone Cold. That was the people they wanted to see in the dream match.
Oh yeah, they were the one. The two of them were all over the magazines. You know, they had the same color. They wore the same boots, the same tights. Both had goatees. Both were bald.
So
you know, Austin was probably a better wrestler. Obviously, Goldberg was a little bigger. But
yeah, I mean,
that was it.
Again, this is one that you if you really wanted to start arguing in the top 10, you could do it. I'm not gonna sit there and get too crazy, but
right.
I might have had Goldberg higher, but I mean, he's in the top 10. That's fine.
Right. Number 8. I know some people may have this guy higher. I might have overgraded him, but I don't think so because I've loved this guy his whole career. Barry Windham.
Barry Windham, Ric Flair talks about it to this day. He's one of his favorite opponents and said this guy could really go. Mm-hmm. He was a true talent. Barry Windham at times got flaky behind the scenes.
Yes, he did.
And that's probably where he did himself in.
Well, he got flaky with Vince, and that's why he became the Widowmaker.
So. But he did... he could go. I mean, he could go with anyone at any time.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. He was hot in Florida. Let me tell you. I mean, you know, he was one of those like how the Rock and Roll Express, you got that sound, that screeching sound from all the women. That was how popular he was in Florida.
Yep.
In the mid-80s. So I have no problems. And he was a great horseman. He did get, unfortunately, when he got his run as NWA champion, I wish he would have got it a few years before that, but
right.
That was when the whole controversy with the championship and all that at the time.
Oh yeah. But, and he wasn't the same wrestler he was. He got a little heavy and yeah.
It's amazing though. He got the body of his dad. I mean, he was so thin. I mean, obviously not as real thin as his brother Kendall, but it's amazing. When you stop working out or you don't work out, what can happen?
Right?
In this business. Crazy. But especially if they got the genes, Blackjack was a big guy.
Yes. Number 7. Tully Blanchard.
Okay. I have no problem there.
Okay. Number 6. Hollywood Hulk Hogan might be the only guy on both in both the WWE and WWE and WCW list in the top 10. Obviously he's a little higher on the WWE list, but number 6. And this is, we're talking about pretty much for 5 years from when he came to WCW in 94 until he left in the middle of 2000. So that run. And that alone,
I mean,
is enough.
There's some people that may have him higher. I mean, he was, listen, we know what Nash and Hall did to get the NWO started. But the reason why the NWO went over the line in terms of being the explosion that it was is because Hogan turning heel. I just think people were so tired of the old Hulk Hogan act, the Hulkamania and the prayers, saying your prayers.
Vitamins,
all that stuff. I think that he wound up becoming cool, you know?
Yeah.
And he definitely I definitely don't think the NWO would have been popular, but I don't think it would have been as popular. I know that some people will probably disagree with me on that, but Hogan was the key to that whole faction.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Taking off to where it was. So some people could have him a little higher, but I mean, like I said, this is where we're getting the split hairs now. But yes, he made more of his mark in WWE.
Right.
I thought about it.
We are in the top five. At number five, Ricky Steamboat.
Okay. No problem with that.
Pound for pound, still one of the best wrestlers in the world, regardless of what Sean Kidd thinks. Number four. He's the guy who was dealing with hard times. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, at number four. I mean, that's pretty much Mount Rushmore territory right there.
Yeah, of course. Some people might have him a little higher, but I think that's fair. Fair mm-hmm. point.
Number three, and I know some people probably have him lower, but I will die on the hill for this guy, and I'll fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. The number three greatest NWA/WCW wrestler of all time, the Enforcer, Arn Anderson. And I will fight anybody.
I mean, listen, probably if you asked me this 10 years ago, I would have never had Arn even in the top 10. But watching him again and watching this stuff back, I've gained a lot of respect. I mean, did he have as much of an impact as Dusty? Probably not. But overall,
but longevity. Dusty was only in the ring for
I mean,
2 or 3
it depends
years
on how you want to judge. I mean, again, it's splitting Max. Hairs, but I love Arn, so I have no problems. I mean, definitely he was a top five guy for me. Yep. So
number two, and maybe the only other guy besides the other guy that. And I know at least one person who had this guy number one on his list. Most people probably have this guy at number two. Probably a few had him at number one. I am, of course, talking about the man they call Sting.
Yeah.
He's the face of WCW.
He is. No, I had no problem with that at all.
He was the WCW equivalent of The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one from the NWA Saturday special ballot, the number one greatest NWA/WCW
WCW
wrestler of all time, PN News. No, I'm just kidding. No. Van Hammer. No. Click. George Bellino has left the call.
Oh, never mind that. I think you're going to have people clicking off this podcast.
Of course, we have it number one. In Dr. G's, in my opinion anyway, arguably the greatest ever. We are, of course, talking about Nate himself. I don't think we need to go into it. We did a whole episode on him last year, yep. So. Or 2 years ago, I guess. Was it 2020? Yeah, it was two years ago, I guess. So
I mean, I'm interested to see once everything's released. Like, I mean, I would be very shocked if Flair was not number one.
I would too. I have a feeling that most people have Flair Sting or Sting Flair, depending on your age, maybe.
Yeah.
Your point of view. I know for a fact, and I mean, I don't know his ballot, but I can guarantee you that Nate Milton's number one is Sting. I can guarantee you that. He loves Sting. Sting is his guy. I think he might have had Flair at two, maybe had him at three, but I guarantee you that either Sting or Flair is on everyone's one or two.
Yeah. I'm interested to see.
Yeah, well... you know what? Why don't we take a quick peek before we before we exit, I believe another ballot came out. I think another ballot came out today. Let's see. PlaceToBeNation.com.
Did they compile everything yet? Because I check every once in a while.
Yeah, they did. Well, we release it in pieces. So
oh,
we release it in pieces.
I thought it was three way
dance. Let's see. Here we go. GWCW wrestler results. Oh, I guess I missed a few of these. Here's 150 to 126. Oh, we've had more of these than I thought. Okay. Oh, previous rounds results here.
I just want don't even get into that. I don't care about 150.
200 to 176. Last week was 175 to 151.
Okay, so I'm looking the wrong. Okay,
so 150 to 126. Fatu, Kaz Hayashi, Akira Hokuto. You're like, all right, stop talking.
Yeah, stop talking.
Oh man, I didn't have Crowbar on my top 100. Steve Armstrong.
And he came back, didn't he? He came back on AEW, didn't he?
Sherry. Mass Superstar. Sean O'Hare. Come on. Colonel Rob Parker. El Dandy. Because who were you to doubt El Dandy? All right. So so check it out. PlaceMeNation.com. We're slowly revealing blocks of 25 the list. So. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special.
The pleasure is all yours, as always.
Larry Lynn!
Mr. Chris Colo.
I don't do you have a Georgie?
I was going to call you Mr. Steele.
Mr. Steele. The Man of Steel. That's right.
I always thought that should be your podcast name.
My podcast name is Scott
Steele.
I used to call
you that in college, Scott
Steele.
That's right. But
I should have been Scott Steele. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll just be Steel, and I'll do some like music podcast with a distorted voice. What do you think? Like that guy Scotso, the jazz doctor, that used to do jazz shows, and nobody knew those.
Who was that jerk?
Some fucking asshole who knew nothing about jazz music.
Yeah, that's the best part of it.
I know. Yeah, right. I missed that show. Hey, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning for it. Back then, it took a lot for me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning for anything.
That is true.
That's true. All right. So next week, of course, we'll recap. If you're listening to this on Saturday in a couple of hours, newest episode of NWA USA on YouTube, which will have the three semifinal matches in the Junior Heavyweight Championship Tournament. We'll recap, of course, this upcoming Tuesday's episode of Power. And then next week, Doctor, we're going to start a new segment to end the show. Of course, everyone knows that this year's stretch project, we are revisiting our greatest WWE superstar list from 5 years ago. If you did a ballot 5 years ago, check it out. Revisit it. See if you want to make any changes. If you didn't do one 5 years ago, then do a brand new one this year. But, Doctor, I need your help. So every week, we're going to go to my list, because back then, of course, when I did the list, you and I weren't doing the Saturday special. I'm going to pull out my top 100 from 5 years ago. And every week I'm going to give you 10 wrestlers for the next 10 episodes, next 10 weeks from 100 to 1. And I want you to tell me if you think I should raise them, lower them, keep them, or boot them.
All right.
Totally your decision. So starting next week, we'll go on my list and we'll go backwards. Next week we'll do 100 to 91. I'll give you 10 names and you tell me whether I should keep them there, raise them, drop them on the list, or drop them all together. Because obviously 5 years ago, there weren't guys that ended up going to WWE in the last 5 years and made a huge impact. One guy I could think of in particular that I did not have on my list was Adam Cole, who of course should be on my list now because what a career he had in NXT. So anyway, we're going to do that next week. So follow me on Twitter. At Scott C. Podfather. Follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. G. PTB. Please follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. I've been doing polls all over the place. Did you see the polls this week, Doctor? I did a poll of which men's Royal Rumble match was worse, 1995 or last Saturday. And then I did a poll, a buddy of mine, came up with a good question, and I posted it. Who could be the breakout star of 2022? And I did one man and one woman from both WWE and AEW. Jade Cargill, Liv Morgan, Chad Gable, and Wardlow. I think the poll's still up. By the time you listen to this, the poll may be closed. But I'll have a fresh poll up on Monday. Doctor, you'll have to come up with another. It's your turn. So, okay. So come up with another poll question. So follow us on Twitter, at PTBN Wrestling. And we do polls all the time, and you'll see the...
And go to... what are you at? The Podfather of Love? Is that what you are this month?
No, it's just a bunch of black hearts. Because Owen Hart's my favorite wrestler, the Black Heart. Great podcast this week. We had a new episode of PTBN's Pedestal. So check that out. Obviously, yesterday, if you listen to this on Saturday, yesterday, new episode of Place Me Nation's main event. Drop myself, Steve, Nate. We talked WWE, AEW, and then we did our classic TNA pay-per-view recap. Next week, just a scheduling update. This week, not Monday, but Tuesday, we will have a brand new episode of the Place Me podcast. Myself, Mr. Azzaro, we'll be doing SummerSlam 2007. Also this week, new episode of Extreme Resurrection, I believe, this week. New episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, Doctor, new episode of NWA Crock and Roll. And of course, you and I will be back next Saturday. So full boat here on the Quadapods, but particularly here on the PTB Wrestling Network. Have a great weekend. Stay safe here in the Northeast. There might be some more ice. No Super Bowl. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. Who the fuck watches the Pro Bowl? I'm Scott. He's the Doctor. And you're not.
Ciao.